Welcome to episode 304 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on space and space travel. If you'd like to hear the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. The Apollo program is winding down.
Yes.
Right, 1972 was the last time the Apollo program sent anyone to the moon. Mm-hmm. As far as we know, it's the last time anyone's been to the moon.
Okay.
One hopes that future missions, there's certainly future missions planned.
Yeah.
And speaking of future planning, did you know the space shuttle was already on the drawing boards by 1972?
Really? Okay.
Yeah, you can actually trace it back to a 1966 report, jointly with NASA and the United States Air Force. Saying, we really need a better vehicle. Probably something we can reuse.
Yeah, oh yeah, makes sense.
By the time Skylab launched, they already knew the space shuttle was going to happen.
Oh, okay.
And had originally planned to service Skylab with the space shuttle.
Okay.
But the space shuttle didn't come online until the 80s. And Skylab was gone.
Okay. Was that the plan, or
did no? It seems to be a thing with space stations. Just re-enter early.
We really thought it'd stay up there for a while.
They launched 1973. I once heard that the Skylab itself was a modified third stage of a Saturn V. But I don't know if that's true yet or not. We're going to do more than one episode on this thing, so I'll find out for sure.
I'm like, this isn't Monday.
On the way up, they were having some issues with vibration.
Oh, okay.
Some articles call it a heat shield.
Yeah.
Other articles call it a meteoroid shield.
Okay. It depends on which way you're going.
One article I liked just to skip the whole issue and called it the external shield.
Okay, yeah.
Good Lord. Whatever, it got ripped off.
The primary buffer panel.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can't believe
it. It got torn off. Didn't mean for it to happen. I'm not sure how it happened, but they were still barreling through the atmosphere at the time.
Yeah.
When that shield came off, it took one of the main solar panels with it.
Crap.
And wrapped a piece of metal around the second one so it couldn't deploy.
It's not going well. Okay.
No humans on it yet, right? Yeah. You launch these things unmanned and go up to meet it later. But later ended up being a little later.
Wait, did they give up on it? They're like, let's just try that again.
Okay, they're still going to use the same lab.
Okay.
But the launch date was pushed for the crew, pushed forward, back, whatever, 10 days later.
Okay.
So Skylab launches on May 15th. Apparently, they were planning to send up the crew that day.
Uh-huh.
But then they're looking at it and go, okay.
We need to plan a little bit. None of that was supposed to happen. Maybe bring a wrench.
They were trying to do a couple of... one of the things they tried to do, there's the ATM, Apollo Telescope Mount.
Oh, that's confusing.
Which was probably developed during the Apollo program. I'm just going to take a stab at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it has like... It looks almost like a windmill.
Okay.
Because it has four panels sticking out. In a kind of a cross or an X.
Okay, yeah.
So they pointed that at the sun, trying to get as much electrical power as they could.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then started to try and figure out what else they were going to do to try and make this thing work.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, this was not even the United States' first space station.
Right.
It will become the first crewed space station.
Ooh, fancy.
As in, you know, people on it, not crewed as in terrible. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
But the Russians beat us with that. They were the first to get a crew onto a functioning space station, which we talked about on Monday. I need to give the Russians their due.
Mir, wasn't it? Or Mir?
Back in 1963 or 65, depending upon who you ask. And yes, it bothers me too when I see two different dates. Shouldn't we know?
I know, right? That's in recordable history. It should be written down somewhere.
There was an announcement that the Manned Orbital Laboratory program was going to happen. This is part of the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
The plan was to use them for reconnaissance.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
It recently turned out that the Russians can shoot down the U-2 spy plane, so we needed something else. They thought they'd put a couple of guys in these 20-foot-long space stations, and they'd be up there for a month with their telescopes and cameras and whatnot.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we hadn't figured out spy satellites yet.
No, that's exactly right. This program never really got off the ground. There was only one launch in 1966, unmanned test of the station equipment, and not all of that. They did put some experiments up there. They were hoping to watch it for a few months. Something went wrong. It re-entered early.
Oh, crap.
Well, you know, what have you. Yeah. Meanwhile, the Russians are like, the Americans are doing it. So pretty much wanting to do the same thing, they started their program.
Okay.
And they actually had two programs going on. There was the military version and the civilian space stations.
Oh, interesting.
The Salyut program.
Blah.
I'm sure I'm messing that up. It actually means salute.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So salute with a heavy accent. Okay. It's like Japanese for blueberry.
Blueberry.
Yeah.
I just a blueberry. That's more Italian. All right, now that we're not insulting people in the international community.
This is amazing how many people we just covered. Yes, okay.
Their first launch is in 1971. The Apollo program was still going on.
Okay.
To put it in a frame of reference, Apollo 17 did its thing in December of 72.
Oh, okay.
So they had their first station up. Had a little trouble. The first station re-entered early.
It's a trend. That's just a thing
to
do.
Second station blew up along with its rocket during launch. I think the upper stage exploded and fragments depressurized the station.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
Yeah. I remember they docked to one but couldn't go into it. It might have been that one. But despite the early setbacks, they pioneered a lot of things and broke mission duration records. First one to have one crew replace the other. And this program continued all the way up until 1991.
Wow. Okay. Oh, good job, guys.
Yeah.
How many people died?
Actually, there was the Soyuz 11 tragedy when the spacecraft depressurized and the cosmonauts died. The only people to have died officially in space.
Oh.
All of our astronauts died still in the atmosphere or coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the launch pad, Apollo 1. The civilian program, it's still, in a way, it still exists today. Because, like, the Salyut program turned into the Mir station, which turned into the Russian module on the ISS.
Okay.
So, that's still running.
Wow.
But some of these were military. They were, a few did get some crews up there. By 1978, they figured spy satellites were much cheaper.
No kidding.
But they also happened to have the only armed space station.
Wow. Space Wars was a thing. I mean,
23 millimeter cannon adapted from one they had on a high-speed bomber.
So, okay, you fire the cannon. I have questions.
They did, actually, once. And we only found this out recently. They declassified this. In 1975, they test-fired the cannon.
Oh.
The crew was not on board. The crew was already gone. And it was the last thing they did before they did a deorbit to just...
Did they deorbit on purpose? Or are they just like,
fire the cannon. Let's see if that destroys it. We still don't know what they actually were shooting at, if they were aiming at anything, or whether or not they hit it. They did fire the thrusters to counteract the, Newton's second law. If you're firing a cannon, you're going to push your station in that direction. And you couldn't aim the cannon without rotating the entire station.
So many problems.
Yeah, but they got there first, once again. I have a question for you.
Okay.
What temperature is space?
Cold.
That's what everybody seems to assume.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it really depends upon where you are and what's going on.
Oh, right.
Okay, so ask me why things get the temperature they do when they're in orbit.
Me?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes.
Okay.
We're recording again, by the way.
Okay, so why do things get all hot and or cold in orbit?
Well, it has to do something with the thermal dynamicness. Every piece of matter in our universe is producing some electromagnetic radiation.
Okay.
And the hotter it is, the shorter the wavelength, and, you know, kind of more of it. Okay. When the temperature of a body goes up, the amount of energy it's radiating away also goes up.
Okay.
So you stick something in orbit and it's in the sunlight. It's absorbing all those photons and getting hotter.
Yeah.
Eventually it reaches a point called thermodynamic equilibrium where it is radiating as much as it's absorbing and it no longer gets any hotter.
Oh, cool.
A little physics for you.
Yeah.
Just to pad out this episode.
10 minutes. What?
So I was reading an article on figuring out the temperature of a metal plate in low Earth orbit.
Oh, okay.
Low Earth orbit is where, well, every space station has been. And it ranges wildly.
Okay.
And this guy worked out that the top temperature would be 394 degrees Kelvin.
I don't know what Kelvin,
yeah,
but okay.
Good old Kelvin. An easy way to turn Kelvin into Celsius is to subtract 273.
Oh.
Well, 273.15 if you really get
Oh, okay.
That would make it 121 degrees Celsius.
Enough to boil water at the least.
And then some. Mm-hmm. Or at least enough to boil water under standard atmospheric conditions.
And roast a human.
So it actually will cycle between minus 170 Celsius and about 120 Celsius.
That's bad for metal.
Yeah, it's bad for a lot of systems.
How do you plan for that?
From minus 338 to about 250 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a wide temperature range. And most of these cooling systems and whatnot, that, and even heaters they put in, is because most of the electronics doesn't work at the... You got this narrow window, not to mention human life. That's another little narrow window.
Right. Pesky humans.
So one of the problems with this external shield being gone is that, well, hey, the station is heating up now.
Okay.
The workshop they were supposed to be working in got up to 52 degrees Celsius, about 126 degrees Fahrenheit.
There we go. Yeah, okay, hot.
Not as hot as it could get, but you wouldn't want to put your hand on that burner either. And essentially, that's what they had to do. They took about five orbits to meet up with the space station. And they go out there, and every time they're touching the metal of the ship, you know, it's hot.
Yeah.
It's good to have those nice, big, thick, insulated. Too bad it's hard to move your hands in the gloves.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope they can take it, because a tear in your,
But what they had was a parasol.
Okay.
They had a sun shield that they jiggered up with four struts, and it really did kind of open up like an umbrella.
Oh.
They put that on there. And things finally start to cool down. Thank you, physics.
No kidding. So now they can just sort of wait it out.
The other thing they had to do was open up the other solar panel. Well, you know, so they went over there on a spacewalk, got the metal off of the solar panel, and then it took two of them to pull the thing out. And then, you know, they got a bit more power than they were stuck with. They still don't have as much as they planned for, but, you know, they had planned for some redundancy and extra power anyway. Now, the science can continue.
Yay!
And we're going to talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.